Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Melanie C. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Tuesday, June 30th, 2020, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time Big Book Study meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are at the preface on page XI, the fourth edition. We are going to be reading four paragraphs today, starting with the third paragraph on page XI, and that begins with the second edition added, and then goes over to the bottom of page XII, ending with, yes, I believe this program can work for me too. Today's readers are the 12 steps, Laura R., the 12 traditions, Karen W. Reading the text today in support is Deborah S., Kara L., Brandy M., Roz G. will greet newcomers today and get you some sponsor contact information, and Leslie M. will give you some announcements at the end of the hour. So stick around. It's a lively, lively day. The share ID numbers for yesterday's 10 a.m. Eastern Time Big Book Study meeting, that would be for June 29th, 2020, Monday, is 14,889. And then today, our 7 o'clock a.m. meeting has already been recorded and ready for you. June 30th, Tuesday, that share ID number is 14893, 14,893. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals. Through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover. Through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Laura R. to please read the 12 steps of OA. Hi, Laura.
Thanks, Melanie. Good morning. This is Laura R., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Colorado. These are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives have become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will. 4, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. Thank you, Melanie, and I will pass.
Thank you, Laura R. I will now ask Karen W. to please read the 12 traditions.
Good morning. This is Karen W., recovered compulsive overeater from Long Island, New York, and I apologize, the garbage truck is outside. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And thank you for the opportunity to serve this month.
Thank you very much, Karen W. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to remute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting and a quiet recording, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted, and this would be indicative of the star 1 key function only, please. And when you share, perhaps maybe you would mind your background noise. Today we resume the study of the Big Book. We are on page XI in the preface of the Big Book. We're going to begin opening with the third paragraph, which begins with the second edition added. And then I'm going to read through 4 paragraphs to finish out the preface on page XII that ends with, yes, I believe this program can work for me too. And I will now ask Deborah S., please, to read those 4 paragraphs and share the directions as they apply to her life to us today for 3. And then we'll open up to the rest.
Hey, good morning, everyone, and thank you, Mel, and everyone on the line that makes this meeting possible. My name is Deborah S., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from New Jersey. Really grateful. The second edition added the appendices, 12 traditions, and the directions for getting in touch with AA. But the chief change was in the selection of personal stories, which was expanded to reflect in the fellowship's growth. Bill's stories, Dr. Bob's nightmare, and one other personal history from the first edition was retained intact. 3 were edited, and one of these was retitled. New versions of 2 stories were written with 2 titles. 30 completely new stories were added, and the story section was divided into 3 parts under the same heading that are used now. In the third edition, part 1, which is Pioneers of AA, was left unchanged. 9 of the stories in part 2, They Stopped in Time, were carried over from the second edition. 8 new stories were added. In part 3, they lost nearly all. 8 stories were retained. 5 new ones were added. This fourth edition includes the 12 concepts of world service and revises the 3 sections of personal stories as follows. 1 new story has been added to part 1, and 2 that originally appeared in part 3 have been repositioned there. 6 stories have been deleted. 6 of the stories in part 2 have been carried over. 11 new ones have been added, and 11 taken out. Part 3 now includes 12 new stories, 8 were removed, in addition to the 2 that were transferred to Part 1. All changes made over the years in this big book, AA members' fond name for this volume, have had the same purpose, to represent the current membership of AA of Alcoholics Anonymous more accurately, and thereby to reach more alcoholics. If you have a drinking problem, we hope that you may pause in reading one of the 42 personal stories and think, yes, that happened to me. Or more important, yes, I felt like that. Or most important, yes, I believe this program can work for me too. Wow. So they're giving us a little summary here of the book and how it's grown and how they, but the point that what hits me most is that it hasn't changed. You know, the solution is the same. The solution is the same. I have an allergy of the body, an obsession of the mind, the doctor's opinion. There it is. It lays out the problem right there. And what's the solution? The solution is I need to find a higher power and turn to that higher power. I have to put the food down. I have to get abstinent. And then I have to live on a spiritual basis, which includes growing into God's will for me. And that to me is the purpose of this book, because if you read the stories, every story talks about that it does not leave out that element of developing a relationship with God. That's it. And, you know, we just see over time how the book has grown. I mean, look at all these new stories and that are added to it. And it just, you know, that's the other purpose is to reach as many alcoholics as possible. I love the word pause over here. It says, if you have a drinking problem, we hope that you may pause. Whoever paused when I was eating? Whoever paused when I was doing self-will run riot? Never. You know, but that pause word here, you know, and it's taught me pray and use spiritual. I forgot the E. Pray and use spiritual. Oh, I hope someone could fill me on that one. I'm having a senior moment here. I forgot it. Anyway. But I love that pause where I can turn to God and to see what His will is for me today. And, you know, and coming in here, and I did have a pause, and I had to say, yeah, to listen to the stories, to listen to other people share, going to a meeting and hearing what people did with the food. You know, that was me. I also ate leftovers from everyone's plates. I also was looking, couldn't get from one meal to the next without constantly opening up the refrigerator and seeing my whole world evolve with finding out what my next binge food, how am I going to get my next binge food and not be able to stop. And each day was the same. Each day was another depth getting further and further into the disease and into this hopelessness and helplessness. So today I don't live like that anymore, because each day I'm looking to see how I can be of service. What is God's will for me? You know, I take that pause. Energy, pray and use spiritual energy. That's it. Today I'm looking to see what God has planned for me, and I work with, I'm working as a servant of God, you know, trusting and relying and seeing, you know, how I can be of service to God and to my fellows around me. And when I see that I felt like that too, and I believe that this program for me too, that could work for me too. When I hear other people talk like that, I shake my head and say yes, because, you know, every other program that I went to, I also felt, oh, that could work for me, but it never lasted. Here I see the results, and I keep coming back because of that and the hope that I'm finding here in this room. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Deborah S. The opportunity now to have additional shares on those 4 paragraphs is open. And we do deeply respect and cherish your experience, but we ask that you limit your share and consideration today to every third day so that others might share. So if you've shared in the last 3 days, we ask that you step back for other new voices to come on. Just a reminder for y'all, we are going to be finishing out the preface today. We'll begin with paragraph 3 on page XI of the 4th edition, begins with the 2nd edition added, and clear through the bottom of XII. which ends with, "Yes, I believe this program can work for me too." If you would give me your first name, the first initial of your last name, I'll take your name down. Press star
Abby.
One.
Abby.
My name is Robert. Oops.
Hi, Robert. What's your first initial
Robert
of your last
from,
name?
From Robert C. from Washington.
Gotcha. Thanks, Robert.
Kathleen
Debbie.
O.
Gotcha, Kathleen. Did I hear Deb?
Yes.
Deb, what was your first initial of your last name? I didn't catch it.
Oh, E.
B, like boy?
E, like echo.
A, like echo. Gotcha. Thanks. Anyone else this morning? Well, I won't let any more time a tick so that we can save it up for someone else. Abby E., Robert C., Kathleen O., and Deb E. Abby, your 3 minutes are now. Star one, please. One more shout out for Abby E., star one, please. She might have gotten bumped. Hey, Robert, are you ready? Let's go with you, and then we'll come back to Abby. Star one, please.
Hey, my name is Robert C., and I'm from Graham, Washington. The first few times I read the big book, I found the stories extremely insignificant, and I could not relate to them. Since then, my whole attitude about it has changed. I've read in the big book several times that the problem is not that somebody's an alcoholic. The problem is that they have the mind of an alcoholic. Now, I'm a compulsive overeater, food addict, so I can absolutely relate to the mind of an alcoholic. So as I read those three sections in the back of the book, those stories, I'm extremely grateful because they go through all of the emotions that somebody with the mind of an alcoholic has. They're described in detail on page 167, what those stories are. There's three sections. The first section is to show how sobriety can last a lifetime. And me, with somebody who struggles with relapse continuously, the idea of how these alcoholics or people with alcoholic minds can have lasting sobriety is extremely significant. It goes through their thought processes, their struggles, and their successes. The second one is people who haven't decided whether they have an alcoholic mind or not. And I struggle with that too. Some days I go, gee, I'm not a compulsive overeater. And some days I'm acutely aware that I am. When I'm not, I'm in big trouble. And this section, I look for just like I do at a meeting, I look for the similarities in the story with myself. And I discard the differences, or I minimize the differences. And then the third section, which is the most significant section of all of the stories, I'm so grateful for them. Those are people who have nearly lost all to alcoholism and still recovered. My top weight was 380 pounds, and it's pretty tragic. I watched the 600-pound guy TV show, and I go, that's me. That's my mind right there. So as I read these stories, I see myself in there, and I see the solution that these folks took. So I'm very grateful for this. Yes, it happened to me, and more important, yes, I felt like that, and most important, yes, I believe this program can work for me too. Those are lifelines that are given to me through this book, and thank you. I'll pass after that.
Thank you, Robert C. Kathleen, you're up next, and then Deb E. will follow you, and then we'll open up the lines again.
Good morning. Thank you, Melanie. This is Kathleen O., recovered in Northern California. So the message in this chip of a book that we crack open every morning, it gives these clear-cut directions, which has helped millions of people solve their problem with alcohol, and for me, solve my problem with food. You know, Bill's story and Dr. Bob's nightmare in the first 164 pages, they haven't been changed, and they haven't been changed because they work. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. These are powerful stories. But I have to admit, when I first read these stories, I couldn't identify with a white male stockbroker or a white male doctor. You know, the stories that have been changed over the years are to help different people of different backgrounds and cultures identify in. And once I was able to hear a story that I was able to identify with and say, hey, that's me, I was able to stick around long enough and with the help of vision, actually study this big book. And then I was able to identify with Bill W. and Dr. Bob because, excuse me, their behaviors around alcohol, you know, were exactly like the ones I had around food. So once we hear or read someone's story that we can identify with and realize that person found a solution which solved their problem, there's so much hope. I didn't think there were other people out there who would look at normal eaters and wonder how the heck they could take two bites of dessert and stop because they were full. And I didn't think there was anyone out there like me who had the problem of never being able to stop once I started. You know, I thought I was the only person who would not only eat every crumb of my dessert, but then obsess for days on how I could get more. So I love being on this meeting, knowing there are over 6,000 people on the member list who I can call, who when it comes to the problem of food are just like me. And studying this big book Monday through Friday, I continue to learn and I'm able to be reminded of what my mind can easily forget. So to have relief from my problem and live a life beyond anything I ever believed was possible is nothing short of amazing. To know the promises that come with living these steps a day at a time, to cease fighting anyone or anything, oh my gosh, that is the best. To not be thinking about food all the day, truly the best. I never thought any of this could happen. But it did when I was able to hear someone like me with whom the problem was solved and all I had to do was show up and suit up. So yes, I believe this problem could work for me and miracle of all miracles, it worked. And it can work for you too. And thanks for your service today, Melanie. I pass.
Thank you, Kathleen. Okay, study partners, we do have four paragraphs that we're going through today, and we're going to finish out the preface. And so in three more minutes, you get a chance to be able to share what your experience is then. But right now, we're going to listen to Deb E. for three. Hi, Deb.
Good morning. Hi, I'm Deb E., recovered in Southern California. And I'm really grateful that when I came into OA, I was handed a big book right away. You know, I was introduced to it right away. But I just was kind of shown the chapters, not, you know, going right into the, you know, what I thought was like really the beginning of the book with the doctor's opinion. And it wasn't until about 9 years ago when I joined the present step study that I'm in that I had to read the preface and the forewords to the different editions. And I kind of rolled my eyes at it and I'm like, why would we have to read that? That's like there's nothing in there, you know. And I discovered that there's a lot of good stuff in here. And I really like that vision starts right at the beginning too. Because really there's no part that should be skipped. It's, you know, it further confirms for me that every bit of this book is useful to me. There's something in every section for me to learn from. And I also, like it was shared, had trouble relating. You know, when I came in, I was in my late 20s. I was kind of like, this is all written for men. This is written so long ago. How does this apply to me? And over the years, I've really seen how it applies to me. I even, like, someone had shown me to just like cross out the word alcoholic and write compulsive overeater. And I was like, now I regret doing that. I did that in some of the first few pages. And I'm like, I don't need to do that because I can relate to the alcoholic because there are so many similarities. And I'm no better. I'm now, you know, being a compulsive overeater compared to an alcoholic. The message is the same. And, it's been very humbling for me when I really had to be like trained to look for the similarities and not the differences, because I would just listen to the differences and be like, oh, that person has nothing for me to hear about, you know. It's been very humbling to listen to people's stories who at the onset, I think that there's nothing for me really to relate to and learn from. And those people have imparted to me some of the best lessons. And with that, I think I will pass. Thank you so much for letting me share.
Thank you, Deb E. And just as a reminder, We do value all of your experience here and want to hear from each and every one of you. But in the interest of sharing the time with others when we have over 200 people on the line, if you've shared in the last two or three days, we'd ask that you step back, please, and wait for another day to be able to share. And in the meantime, we are going to be closing out the preface today, reading four paragraphs. So we'd love to hear from you. I'm going to open up the lines for another opportunity to comment on those four paragraphs. Give me your first name, the first initial of your last name.
Margaret N.
Margaret N.
Roz G.
Roz G.
Toby A.
Toby A.
Laura Lee S.
Laura Lee S.
Carol N.
Carol N. Nice and smooth. Let's go with that. Margaret N., Roz D., Toby A. Say your name one more time, please.
Hi, this is Margaret N. in Loomis, California. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for being here. I just wanted to say I've been in the room since 2012 through another 12-step program, and I was shocked that food could even be considered an issue like alcoholism. And I no longer am shocked at all like that. And the similarities are remarkable. Just substitute the word alcoholism, binging, whatever other addiction that would impact my life negatively, I can just fit the word in there. And so in these paragraphs, I've been a chronic relapser. I have a week sobriety under my belt, which I'm very, very grateful for. And that last line is that we hope that I can find something in this book, you know, for me. I know this is my solution. I've tried so many other things, and everything from acupuncture to all the diets and the da-da-da. But I know this solution is me. And so I keep coming back. I keep coming back. I keep coming back. Because I always receive something positive from it. And so I think one of the biggest things I've received is to focus on what is, not what isn't. Because when I focus on what is, what I'm feeling, what I'm doing, whatever it is, it keeps me in the present. And if I'm focusing on what isn't in my life, I'm out in fantasy land, and all I'm doing is gnawing on the stuff that I don't like, and I can't see what God's given me right in front of my face. So I'm eternally grateful. I hope I keep coming back and stay back, and I just want to share love and blessings with all of you. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you, Margaret Ann. Roz G., you're next, and then Toby will follow you, Roz.
Good morning, Melanie and everybody. I'm Roz G., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Palmdale, California. And I'm looking at these quotes. Yes, I felt like that. Yes, that happened to me. Yes, I believe this program can work for me too. Well, I grew up in Northridge, California, as a biracial, well, triracial young lady in a dominant race neighborhood, and always felt apart from, never felt a part of. I couldn't relate to anybody 100%. The only people I could really fully relate to were my family members, because we were all of the same. And there weren't too many people, there weren't any people around like me. And I made friends, but I still grew up with this complex of, I'm unique, I'm different, you don't understand, but I'm like this. And people would say, we're all the same, you know, we all bleed the same, and they'd come up with this frothy emotional appeal. But I always had hang-ups. And, you know, today I still have to fight those hang-ups. I've done so much step work over it that it's beginning to penetrate in me now. But you know where I really found my identification and a place of belonging is in the rooms of Overeaters Anonymous. Because, you know, when I hear Harlan share about, you know, his life and him being a, you know, older man than me, Jewish, you know, what do I have in common with this guy? A whole heck of a lot. And when I hear the lady at the on the special edition the other day saying that she sobbed over the fact that she couldn't have sugar anymore, I cried about not having macaroni and cheese and chocolate chip cookies. You know, I felt like that. And then when we get deeper into the stuff and we stop talking about the food and we start talking about our feelings and our experiences, I've had the same ones. And I've also learned that it's just self-pity and ego for me to continue to think about me and what you don't get about me. I can help a lot of people because I've worked through these steps, and these steps don't cross any lines. They're, you know, we're all level here. So I'm so, and I love the Zoom meetings have, and I'll wrap up by saying that there's a lot of meetings that where they just simply read the back of the book and we read the stories. I love that.
Time.
I love the combination of both. Thank you, and I pass.
Thanks, Roz G. Toby A., you're up next for 3 minutes, and then Laura Lee will follow you.
Hi, my name's Toby A. in Fremont, California. I'm a compulsive overeater. I know this reading, this section that we just read talks a lot about the stories, but the first thing that grabbed me is in that very first sentence, the second edition added the appendices, the 12 traditions and the directions. And the 12 traditions are something that, you know, like when I'm in a step in tradition study, when it's the week to study the traditions, I'm usually, oh, man, it's the traditions. But without the traditions, we're not here. And when I first got into a different 12-step program, I started out going to NA instead of AA, and the traditions were not practiced at all, and the groups just fell apart, and it was all about personalities and not about principles. And you know, the steps are how I, as an individual compulsive overeater, recover, but the traditions are how we as a meeting and we as a program, as an organization, stay together and make it possible for each of us as individuals to recover. And without those traditions, we're not here. When I've been married for 17 years almost, and when I first sat down with my fiance to come up with our vows for our wedding, I didn't know where to start. And I said, well, we're both in program. I said, well, the traditions are how groups stay together. So let's start there. And we actually started out by looking at the traditions to figure out what to write into our wedding vows, because that's how we stay together as a program, and that works. So I'm grateful that they added the traditions to the book, and I'm really grateful for this meeting. I introduced myself yesterday. My phone was ringing all day. I apologize to anybody who I didn't answer, because I felt so much love coming from all the people contacting me, but then I was kind of like, well, I work at home, I got to get some work done. So I stopped answering the phone. But I love this meeting, and thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Toby A. Laura Lee S., you're up now, and then Carol will follow you, and then I will probably open it up for a couple more people to share. Hi, Laura Lee.
Hi, everyone. My name is Laura Lee S. I'm a compulsive overeater in Colorado, and very grateful to be here. Like many other people, it was really the last sentence there that really caught me, because that is just exactly what happened to me. I just teared up listening to it. I hit my bottom 3.5 months ago, 2 days after the shutdown, and I woke up the next morning you know, not knowing what to do, but it occurred to me that maybe OA has phone meetings. So I got online and Googled OA phone meetings, and I got on a meeting, and I felt like the meeting was really strange, and I didn't like it, and I didn't relate, and nobody was sharing their experience, and but I was desperate. So the next day, I Googled again, got on a different phone meeting, and it happened to be this one, and that's where that happened to me. I was listening to people share, and I thought, yes, that happened to me. Yes, I felt like that. And I heard that thing which I'd never heard before, which is that many people have foods that for them are like alcohol is to alcoholics. And once you have one, you can't stop. And if you stop, you eventually have an emotional problem that requires, at least that's how I feel, requires me to eat that food again. And there I am off again. And once I heard that, I thought maybe this can work for me too. So two people gave out their phone numbers as sponsored. I called them both. One of them called me back first, and that's been my sponsor. And it really has worked for me. I'm so grateful. I just can't even express how grateful I am. I struggle with chronic migraines, and last night I got the worst migraine I've had since I got abstinent. And it wasn't even a lot of pain. It was other symptoms that were very difficult to deal with, visual impairment, and I was very confused, and the dog had gotten into something, and so I was looking in the cupboard for something to clean him off with, and I thought, oh, I should eat. And then I immediately thought, oh, I don't have to do that. That is not going to help me feel better. And I couldn't find anything for the dog. I told my husband I can't take care of the dog. I'm not doing well. I went and laid down in the bed. My sponsor had given me a recorded meeting to listen to. I turned that on because you don't have to be able to see in order to listen to that. And I knew that if I thought about the food again, if it got to be a problem, I had people I could call. I had tools I could use. And I completely forgot about eating. It just occurred to me this morning, was, wow, you know. And that was always an excuse to eat compulsively for me. And I was kind of afraid that it, you know, yeah, okay, it'll work when I'm well, but what if, you know, what about when I'm sick, it might not work, and it works, and I'm just so grateful. So thank you, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Laura Lee. Carol N., you're up next for 3 minutes, and then I'll open up the lines for probably two additional people to share. Hi, Carol.
Hi there. My name is Carol N. from California, gratefully recovering compulsive eater. When I first came to OA, our groups just concentrated on the stories at the back of the book. And while they were interesting and I could relate, there was no emphasis on solutions in the meetings that I attended. And then someone introduced me to visions, and my mind was just blown when people could read just one paragraph and talk for so long. And it was just like, that was it. There is a solution. I was just so amazed that, why weren't people talking about this in the meetings? And I am so grateful that I found that. And now when I read the OA literature, I can see that there is the solutions there, but it isn't emphasized as much as the big book. And so I'm very grateful for everyone and all of the help that you've given me. So thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Carol N. The lines are now open for additional comments, probably at least two more. We'll see where it goes from there. If you give me the first, your first name, the first in there, show your last name.
Claire E. from the UK.
Audrey, hey
Claire.
MP.
I think you were up the last time. Audrey, MP.
Yeah, oh, and I'm in LA.
Okay, thanks. Anybody else? I think I said two, but I thought maybe three. Let's go with Claire first for your three now, and then Audrey, you'll come in after Claire. Thanks. Star one, Claire.
Hi there. Thanks very much, Melanie, for your service. My name's Claire E. I'm recovered in the UK. Yeah, it's quite a long passage, this, for a vision meeting. I guess what really screams to me is that this is all about identification. So this is all about, you know, changing the stories. You know, the first two parts of the big book, the first part is the instructions, as we know, and then the second part is all of the bit about where we identify, where we hear our story. And for me, that was so crucial when I came into OA. I really, really needed to know that other people, I've been to psychiatrists, I've been to group therapy, I've been to cognitive behavioural therapy, I've been to Weight Watchers, I've been to bulimia specialists, I've been to all of those people. I never really identified. It was all professionals telling me how I should feel, how I did feel, how I should, you know, sort of get well. But what really, really held my attention was somebody who described their story, who described where I'd been, who described stuff they'd done with food. Somebody was saying earlier, you know, crying when they gave up macaroni and cheese. Yeah, I cried when I get, you know, I cried at the thought of it, you know, and like, you know, that sort of thing held my attention because I'd been there. And that's not the sort of thing I'd ever really heard talked about anywhere else. And, you know, for me, I think this is what it's all about, is changing the stories to better reflect where the fellowship wants to carry the message. And, you know, over time, that's changed, obviously, because there's more women, there's younger people, there's a greater diversity. And you know, we need to adapt our message to the newcomer, to sort of carry the message as best we can to the people who are coming in. And that, for me, is what all of the second section is all about. You know, that's where my story is really important. It's so important that I share my experience with newcomers and what it used to be like, you know, what that sort of incessant obsession with food was like, what was vomiting 10 times a day was like, what that felt like for me, because that's what's going to hold their attention, because I don't do that anymore. You know, that's in my past now. Something's happened to me, and it's from taking the instructions as laid out in the big book, is I've not needed to do that for some time now. And you know, it's really important that I heard that story when I came in. My sponsor shared her story with me over a phone call, and she, by the end of an hour, she, you know, it's like the it says when Bill's, you know, in Bill's story, you know, by the end of that time that Ebby spent with Bill, that Bill knew that Ebby had been where he'd been, and he knew he could see he wasn't like that anymore. And that's what I need to try and carry to a newcomer, and that's what this book tries to carry to us. And yeah, I felt like that, and I do believe this can work for me too. And this is such an equal opportunities program. This can work for anyone who identifies at depth and admits to themselves their problem. I will leave it there. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Claire. Claire K. Audrey MP, you're next for 3. And then I'll probably take one more. Star 1, Audrey.
Good morning, team. Where are we? We're Team Tuesday, my favorite day. Melanie, thank you for your service and everyone in the background. And thank you, everyone, for your shares. I'm just really grateful to be here. I'm on step 12 and getting ready to, I'm ready to graduate from my step work, although it's never over and I can't wait to share. Regarding the book, I love how some of the, I love the changes in the book, although I don't spend a lot of time in the stories. They're really helpful, and I know I've been encouraged to write my story and submit it to whatever journals or what. I just haven't done that. So beyond sharing online in the rooms and now on Zoom, I pretty much stay to myself. But I've never known my story better than I have in the last 6 months working vision with my sponsor. So I'm recovered. I'm a compulsive overeater, and I'm a recovered bulimic for 27 years. And I'm struggling again with the food, and not just so much the shelter in place, but from an injury. And I can't do the exercise more, eat more, exercise more philosophy. And so the phone calls are coming. I'm really shy about making phone calls, and everyone's been so generous with their numbers. Last night I was on a vision Zoom call, so I actually got to see faces, and I get to actually see faces on a social media site, and it's so comforting to see faces for me. It makes it real. And what I especially love is hearing the recovery and the recovered voices of those who, when they say, when I hear people say, I don't think about food all day, I'm like, I want that. What's her name? And I wrote it down. So expect a call from me. I really need, and my prayer to to God is that I just need I need more recovery with my food, and I'm neutral about my alcoholic foods, but the foods that I can eat, I'm a little overdoing it, and I'm going to pass. Thank you. Thanks, Melanie, for my time today.
You're welcome, Audrey. That's Audrey MP. We absolutely do have time for at least one more share today. We'll pick it out a moment at a time, but who would like to have at least a one spot? Donna W? Donna W? Okay, gotcha. Let's see what we have with time there. I did hear another voice in the background. Donna, go ahead.
Hey, thanks so much, Melanie. Thank you so much, Team Tuesday. Gratefully abstinent and recovered for today. Donna W. in Palo Alto, California. And it's just amazing what a fellowship and a society that, you know, the founders built that has endured, you know, this enduring membership that's endured through wars and depressions and now a pandemic. You know, it's just amazing through different technologies that we can connect with each other. And I, too, have been reading through the traditions lately, and it's just amazing, you know, how not only did they write the 12 steps for us to recover, but the 12 traditions so that, you know, I heard that the 12 steps are so I don't kill myself and the 12 traditions are so I don't kill others. And, you know, reading the history and the 12 traditions and the AA 12 and 12, it's like, thank God they went through all that because that looked pretty rough. I'm glad that we get to benefit from that. And I'm so grateful, you know, here we are in a pandemic lockdown, and I don't have to do any of this alone. I know I'm one of many. I much prefer in-person meetings. I have to admit I'm having a hard time with the Zoom meetings because I'm on Zoom calls all day for work. So I'm having a hard time with that, but, you know, at least I do get some recovery, and I do appreciate all the calls I can get, and, you know, just one day at a time. And, you know, just really grateful to be here and to have a solution today. Thanks. And with that, I pass.
Thanks so much, Donna W. Who else?
Elaine B.
Hi, Elaine. Gotcha. Thanks. 3 minutes for you, madam.
Thanks so much. This is Elaine B., gratefully recovered in Massachusetts. Because of the stories. Because of what I hear, because of the evidence, you know. First of all, I had to be convinced that I was a compulsive overeater. And if I didn't hear stories I could relate to, you know, especially on a phone meeting where you can't see the people's bodies, you can't see a transformation, you can't see over time what's happening, but you hear the passion. And as people have talked about on the Facebook, you know, Zoom meetings, it adds a whole other element. It's really precious. But a vision for you is where I had an experience that was sufficient to bring about a spiritual experience that was sufficient to bring about a daily reprieve I enjoy every single day, where I can recoil like a hot flame from food if it lights up to me. To me, I finally learned, you know, that is something that is happening inside of me that I need to address, and I learned how to address it through these steps. But if I didn't hear the personal stories, if I didn't hear these voices on the line, if I didn't hear the experience, strength, and hope, if I wasn't able to pick up a book, you know, back then, this book was being sent out all over the place. Those stories were the only evidence that they had. And now we've got, you know, there they had 100, and now they have thousands and thousands in all kinds of disciplines, you know, whether it's food or alcohol or other ways, because these steps work. These are designed for living. And it just, that compulsive overeating that ties us all together, like people on the Titanic, whether we're high, low, rich, poor, black, white, male, female, you know, compulsive binger or compulsive restrictor or exercise addict, we can come together in harmonious action and work out a solution on a spiritual plane one day at a time together. And I am so grateful for the opportunity to have found this little chip of a book that gives that that instruction, but if I wasn't inspired by the stories, by your stories, by the stories in my face-to-face meetings, I wouldn't be here, and perhaps neither would you. So let's keep sharing our stories. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Elaine B. And that will end the sharing part, and we're getting close to ending the recorded part of this meeting. But do stick around. We'll have an additional 10 minutes of the meeting after the recording has ended. So we'll get ready right now in preparation to get there. If Kara L. would please read page 164 of our book, big book. Our book is meant to be suggestive only, and then we'll continue from there. Hey, Kara.
Hey, good morning. This is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater from Long Beach, California. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you.